This podcast is part of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He is currently the head football coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines and a former player. His dad and brother are also former players and coaches, but there is more to them than just football. It's time to talk about attacking life each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. This is Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast with Jim Harbaugh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast. Ira Weintraub here with the host of the podcast, coaches Jim and Jack Harbaugh. Our director of recruiting, Matt Dudek, is here as well. And, of course, our producer, McKenzie, is here inside the conference room inside Shen Beckler Hall. We'll catch up on some news and notes around Michigan football. Later on, Lucky Sports Parents with Drago Turner, dad of DJ Turner. And then we'll wrap up with hashtag Jack Talk, more words of advice from the great Jack Harbaugh. Reminder to
you don't have to mention it. I know we talked about that and I suggested it, but you didn't have to bring it up.
Keep carrying I did that all on my own. There's no dollars slipped under the table or anything. The great Jack Harbaugh. A reminder to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen via the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com. And please follow us and contact us on Twitter at AEDPodcast or by using hashtag JackTalk. So a couple of football things as we say hello to the guys once again. Coach, I had a fair amount of fun watching, if you can have fun watching a combine, watching your guys go out there and especially the defensive guys really putting out great numbers at the quote-unquote underwear Olympics. Mm-hmm. And to me, it seems like a great reflection on the program because of what they're able to do. Obviously, the tape, football tape speaks for itself, but now you have this part as well as Michigan did a really nice job down there, the players did, in Indianapolis.
Yeah, they sure did. There was I got a chance to watch it, some of it as well, not all of it, but it is very, very entertaining watching the guys compete and see them compete very well. And then I also got a text from my brother John, who interviewed some of our players and commented on just it was A++ and spoke to Devin Bush and Rashawn and a few of the other guys, and you know, that meant a lot too, to get, you know, to get that text from John.
The process as a player, from your perspective, can you kind of put your head into their heads of what it's like? Are there nerves? It's basically a part of your job interview, right? So I don't know what it's like to be a player in that scenario. I wonder if you could kind of put us into what it's like to be a player going through all those things.
Through a combine, especially when you get out there on the field, or you're doing the bench, or one of the times events. I mean, it feels like a game. From what I remember of it, and you know, you're nervous at the beginning. There's some butterflies, and then once you start doing, they go away, and you're trying to go as fast or leap as high or bench as much as you possibly can.
And then the next part of the process for those guys will be here, right? This coming weekend, there'll be pro day, and so a lot of scouts come in, and it's not just those guys, but everybody else in the program that is draft eligible can go through workouts.
Right. That's this Friday. We'll have our pro day, as they call it, and that'll be all Michigan players this year. Wilton Spade is also going to throw at the pro day because we don't have a draft eligible quarterback this year. But let me iterate it. That's closed to the public, so we don't have people coming by to watch and let those guys go out there and compete in an atmosphere where they're going to have pretty much all the. A lot of general managers, a lot of head coaches will come. You know, scouts from every team will be there for it, and it's a big deal. Guys have been, you know, training for months now to put their best foot forward at the pro day.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, Jack, and I actually talked about this briefly last week before we got, but we didn't get to it on the podcast. The announcement that at the end of June 2020, Jim Delaney is retiring as the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference. Jack, have you thought about this at all? We were talking about maybe Jack stepping into Jim's job.
I have. I'm taking my name. I want to report now. My name. I would not, even if chosen, serve as the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference. So let's get that.
Sound like LBJ right now.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's where I was going with that.
Lyndon Bain Johnson.
That's exactly right. I'm not. I'm out of the mix.
What if there's? I mean, what if there's a groundswell?
Well,
what if
I can't control that.
Groundswell.
I will say, if I couldn't control that, and I'd have to give it some more thought.
We were talking about this when the news did break, and it is an amazing stat that he's like the fifth commissioner in the history of the Big Ten. The commissioner that was before Jim Delaney was the commissioner when your dad coached at Michigan. Delaney got here in 89. Wayne Duke was before that. Yeah, and there's only been like five before, like leading up to Jim Delaney. It's just, it's in a long, long, long time that people serve in office. Two actually passed away in office as commissioner. Wow. And Delaney, you know, 30 plus years is the longest serving, but no one served fewer than like 10 years. It's an amazing longevity. I have a feeling that, and what your dad and I talked about, we won't see another guy go 30 years as the commissioner of a conference.
I don't know. I mean, Jim Delaney's, you know, goes as you say, way back in this conference, and you know, very, very intelligent man, really open to what other people think as well. You're really impressed. I've been very impressed at just how he contemplates things and takes feedback from others. But he's always well prepared found that he makes really good decisions. So the Big Ten owes him a lot. He's got a great record of success.
Forward thinking in a lot of things, including the creation of the Big Ten Network, which obviously other leagues then followed, and more revenue bases there for the leagues. Another thing I wanted to touch on, someone sent me an article from the, I believe it was the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. You know, some guys go on spring break and they go to the beach, or maybe your guys might go home. You had a player go to spring training and go work out. Shea Patterson did for a week. And that was a really cool article, just reading him going through drills and, you know, relearning baseball stuff. Yeah. But, I mean, that's some hard work for a week of spring break. You're not spring break. That's hard work.
Well, I'm glad. It's something you worry about as a coach. There's no doubt about it. When spring break rolls around and you worry about getting the call late at night or guys going on the – making the quote marks with my fingers here, spring break, where they jump in the dilapidated car and drive to Florida or something like that, and who knows what's going to happen, et cetera. But I think, for the most part, our guys went home, spent time with their families, and, did a few of the workouts that Coach Herbert prescribed for them, and getting rest their mind, rest their bodies. And I know there's probably a few that did the spring break thing, did not get any calls, which is good. I mean, you're not, as coach, I'm not somebody that's looking through the keyholes or – you know, underneath the door crevices, but I still worry.
You don't want that call.
I worry. I worry about just like my own kids. When they tell me they're going on a spring break, I much prefer that they go to spring break or go home with their, Shea Patterson going
spring training,
to spring training. Not,
you know exactly who he's with and what he's
doing.
Yeah,
knows what he's doing, and the others that are going home to rest their minds and their bodies in the company of their families. You know,
who's feeding them and you know what they're doing.
I bring this up without having talked to you about this. I'm really interested in this. One thing I found out about a team as we begin spring practice is an indicator to what kind of team that you are going to have is if everyone is back on time. We used to get the guys every once in a while. They'd be somewhere in the plane, something, or the motor didn't go, or I missed my flight, and the car didn't start. I mean, they would go on and on and on. And if you had a significant number of them, it was not a good indicator of. So I throw that out. How are we doing?
We'll find out. Today's the first day back. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say it's. I don't know yet. I don't know yet.
No indication whatsoever?
I haven't had an indication that nobody's here yet, but we'll see.
Well, next week we'll...
When the day's complete and all the lift groups have checked in, then then we will know.
So you get the check off from Coach Herbert. You know everyone showed up.
And bring that up for next week.
We have a little drum roll here in preparation for next week.
But today is a mandatory day, so
we
can take attendance today.
There we go.
And we will have that information.
I will say the car not starting thing might be legit. I went through that last night. So the car not starting might be legit if it's one person. Once you have a bunch of them, then you may have a problem. But speaking of spring.
No, you know what? I just want to say it. Yeah. As a head coach, should have started earlier. Found that earlier and made.
That's why I started my car last night. Didn't have to find out that it wasn't going to work this morning.
Give it a try early in the morning just to see if it's going to start.
Double check the
gas and everything else. Make sure it's working.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Flights.
If I can, if you allow me to tell somewhat funny story, now it's a It's been a year, but we did have a youngster who again names he was a freshman, so he was a first time on campus. We're not going to say any names to protect the innocent. But he missed his flight coming back last year from spring break, and then he told me the story. Couldn't get a ride. Was promised a ride. Then the next person, the car didn't start. It all boiled down to he didn't wake up early enough and didn't have a plan about how to get himself to the airport. I questioned him on why not take an Uber. He didn't have $10 to take an Uber. You know, so the story unraveled and the excuses kept piling up. But what I told him was, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a practice run. Your flight was at 7:05, and I know from where you live, it takes a half an hour to get to the airport. And you want to get to an airport 2 hours before it leaves. So tomorrow, I am going to come pick up. You're going to call me or text me tomorrow morning. You should text me at 4:30, and then I will. You text me at 4:15. That'll give me 15 minutes to drive to your dormitory. I will pick you up. Takes a half an hour to get from campus to our airport as well. Coincidentally, we'll drive to the airport. I'll let you out. You go inside. Check the monitor to see where your gate is, and when you have that information, you come back outside. We'll get in my car, and we'll drive back to campus. Maybe we'll even stop and get some breakfast. So that was the plan.
That's a good
So we're going to do a drive run through. This is how it. Mm-hmm. This is how it should be done. So next morning comes. Guess what?
No text.
Slept in again.
Oh my!
Slept in again.
Oh boy!
And at 4 a.m, I was sitting on the
waiting for
sitting
it.
There looking at the phone. Texted him. Where are you? Why haven't you called? Why haven't you texted?
You ever get
back?
Didn't
respond to about 6:45.
Oh, my goodness.
So
missed his flight again then.
the practice.
If I was in the situation where my coach said, I will pick you up at your place at this time, be out there and be ready, I'd be setting backup alarm after backup alarm.
Multiple alarms.
If I woke up at 6 a.m. and realized that I had missed that.
Panicked.
I think I would just have a heart attack on the spot. Just take me now, honestly. It would be my worst nightmare.
The genius of what the story you've just described is that you had him text you at 4:15 rather than say, I will pick you up
right
at 4:30, which meant you'd have had to get in your car and drive over there. And then he's not there. I mean, that would have been a megatonner. That would have been a 60 megatonner explosion into the dormitory. Pounding on the your butt.
That would have made it very public. I was at the door at 4:30 in the morning. You didn't text me.
You had a second chance, a golden opportunity to do that right, and you botched it.
We're trying to do a dry run. You know, let's do a dry run here. And you got to call an Uber or text them right on the phone.
Set it up.
You do it on the app on the phone. So we're trying to do it exactly. Now the excuse he gave me was that he was worried about getting up and he was trying to stay up late and then all of a sudden he just passed out asleep and
here would have been my answer to that. You mean after you passed out at 4:15 and couldn't make the text, right? It took you 2 hours and 15 minutes.
He was asleep.
Recover.
He was asleep.
Well, obviously it wasn't a lot of thoughts going through his mind that he might have missed something if he's waiting till 6:30.
I'd have set my oven timer. I would you like I don't know I can't believe you would
have
mess
your parents
that
call
up.
You anything that can get you up I would have done to set to make sure that I got up if that's the case.
Well, the life lesson then after that, the next life lesson I was trying to teach him was there's really only two things that matter: tell the truth and be on time, and at least get one of the two right. At least one out of two, bat 500 at least. And furthermore, if you can't figure out which of those two is most important, then I'm probably not your guy. In fact, I'm not your guy.
And having watched Judge Judy on numerous occasions, probably the number one thing there was...
Tell the truth.
Of those two.
Were you struggling to figure out which one was...
I was until I had this flash of Judge Judy.
We should have gone around the table here and asked that question. Which is most important?
Which is most important, telling the truth or being on time?
Yep.
I think telling the truth is more important.
I would agree.
If you can't figure that one out, you're not my guy.
Right. Yeah.
I would agree that telling the truth is more important, but based on how many things I see people late for, and we know the old adage, right, 15 minutes is early, 10 minutes is on time, 5 minutes, whatever, and on time is late, the whole deal. Being on time is not far behind because it's not your time. It's somebody else's time you're probably, that you're wasting, you're being inconsiderate about. So that's important.
We're boiling it down to just two things now.
Tell the truth.
And be on time.
Yeah, because if you're late and you tell the truth about it, at least you told the truth about it. Yeah.
There you go.
There's no question. Yeah, there's no question.
Make it right.
And
make it right. Tell the truth.
Two last things in this opening segment before we get to Drago Turner, our lucky sports parent of the week. You itching, ready to go? Practice starts this weekend. Are you excited to get the guys out there and have a chance to, get them out there?
We are pawing at the ground like a bull that's got his hoof in the ground, pawing at the dirt, ready to go.
So Sunday, first day?
Sunday's the first practice, yes.
And so is it the third practice where you can start ramping up when it comes to like pads and that kind of thing?
Correct. The first two will be in helmets only, those two. And then there'll be one additional practice out of the 15 that you can only wear helmets as well. But the other 12 practices will be in pads, shoulder pads or full pads. And there's other rules too, as long as far as tackling that mandates how much tackling you can do or scrimmaging you can do, and some days that you can't do any tackling or scrimmaging in padded days. But yeah, it's all set. It's ready to go. We're coaches have been preparing, players have been preparing, and now we get to take it out on the field, and that's where the truth is always told, right out there on the field. You can't. There's no email that you can write and say that you're better than somebody thinks you are. We're all out there watching it, and you get to go out there put it on display and play ball.
Yeah, not a lot to get into about that this week since you haven't had him out there next week. Heck, even next week, you only have had him for like a day and a half. So, but it'll be fun to talk football over the next month and change leading up to the open practice on the 6th and the spring game on the 13th, both, of course, coming up in the month of April. And one last thing before we wrap up this opening segment here on the podcast.
Yes. So there have been an exceptional amount of things that kind of come from the podcast that I think have affected my life, that affected all of our lives in one way or another, and all of our listeners' lives in one way or another. So we, as this comes out right now and people are downloading it right now, we, you two, Jack and Jim Harbaugh, have accomplished 5 million downloads of this podcast over the year and a half that you all have done so. So I was trying to think of how can I memorialize this for you both and for the Harbaugh's podcast, the Harbaugh's. So something that I find exceptionally, exceptionally important and I teach my daughters is Jack Harbaugh's Way of Life Top 10. So it's the top 10 things you've referenced very many times on this podcast. And we kind of had Aaron Bills help us out with some things. And I made enough for these for your entire family. I thought that's a nice memento for either coach's office or your basement, Jack. And
make it right. Number three,
make it right, as you had referenced earlier. And, there's you got your whistle and then wanted to have your name etched on the on the eraser, but I thought this would be something really nice to memorialize the 5 millionth download of the Harbaugh's podcast.
Wow. Put that in the basement, Dad.
I got a place for
you
that.
Got a spot for it?
I got a spot for that.
You just rearranged your whole basement last week.
We mentioned this last week. That basement is a project. How'd you say?
It's a living, breathing organism of its own.
Moving, and things move. And that will find a prominent place in the basement, I promise you. Thank you so much.
That's really beautiful, Matt.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for allowing me to be a small part of this and our listeners as well. And I have enough to send Tom Crean one, and Jay can have one,
and
enough for the whole family that I think that this is something that embodies the Harbaugh's through and through.
Thank you so much.
Growing up Harbaugh, I could relate to that. There it is right there.
Which one's that?
Like the bricks, too. It's like it's from the basement. that's how I feel like my brother, my sister, and I mean, that's our life. We came from the basement. That's in the basement right there.
We're halfway to number four. You want to read number four on the list to get back to what we were talking about?
Core values start with never lying, cheating, and never stealing.
Yeah, so telling the truth.
Jack would say it, never lie, cheat. Steal.
Never.
Yep. Easy to remember.
So when it comes to being on time and telling the truth, you said pick one. Never lie.
There you go. Right there, number one.
That is fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Problem.
Well done.
Yeah, no problem.
And also like to say on You know, it's more you. It is you. You are the guy.
But I mean, it's certainly not.
It's certainly not me.
So let's go back to the beginning of the whole thing. The great Jack Harbaugh.
Oh, there
it is. It is you. But it's also Ira.
The team.
Yeah, it's the team.
The team.
Kenzie. JT. The team. I even told Dad this 2 days ago. I said to him, what are we doing on the podcast Monday? What do we got Monday on the podcast? I'm really looking forward to the podcast.
You did.
There was a time when we were doing this podcast. Well, we got to do the podcast again. I don't want to do the podcast, you know. But now I look forward to doing the podcast. I am excited about what's going to come out on the podcast. I think that's a good thing. I appreciate that, all you guys.
Absolutely. And the listeners, anticipation is always there as well.
We get direction here.
We get great direction.
You and I.
We get great emails that come in.
We do.
You and I just show up.
Yeah.
And
it's fun. It's fun now. I enjoy it. I enjoy this podcast very much.
Since we're bringing this up, this podcast is, you know, it creates new, you know, meeting new people too, right? Different people connect, et cetera. I got a Facebook request late last week from Jade Gummer, who we've been talking about on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So, and it took me a moment because I was not in podcast mode when I saw it. I'm like, no mutual friends. Who am I? And I clicked on his thing, and his first post was this long post, and you have it in front of you guys, and it was two takeaways from this Harbaugh and Harbaugh podcast.
Hmm.
And he goes, long post warning, and the first part is pretty short. He says, the game of football and the connections make the world such a small place. My friend and fellow coach Jason Velasquez sitting down talking about his son Joey, a UM commit, with my college coach. Full interview starts at the 31-minute mark. Great job, Jason. And he goes in. And the things he's saying about your dad, and the things that we've talked about in the podcast, you guys have talked about as well. These are awesome words. It's a little long, but I think we probably want to read it because this is just a great testament to your father. Says hashtag coaching coaches change lives. Anyone that knows me knows I'm 100% an advocate for the game of football, for your sons, my sons, and any and every kid that's blessed enough to play it. But that said, not everyone with a whistle, clipboard, and cone is a coach. I played for one of the greats, Jack Harbaugh. He was a true throwback. He was a nose-to-nose and toes-to-toes, hat-on-hat, right is right and wrong is wrong coach in every facet, a true leader of young men. He challenged us, he motivated us, and he compelled us to be great both on and off the field. He was never our friend, but we respected him, feared him. We fought for his ongoing approval, and it was earned daily. You never had to wonder where you stood with him. He would tell you regularly, often unasked. He was a master motivator and knew which buttons to push for each player. For me, it was playing on my drive to prove I belonged and could compete with and earn his ultimate approval, a scholarship, and a starting position. He taught us discipline, respect, self-worth, hard work, service, teamwork, and many other skill sets that served as a catalyst for me to go on to earn a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a law degree. Ooh. 10 years ago, I began coaching. I vowed to be that motivator, teacher, and coach to the kids I coach. 20 years post my playing days at Western Kentucky, to hear my coach say and share the things he says about me at the 57-minute mark of the interview is very emotional and makes it all worthwhile, and I would do it all again. Not enough kudos about my super speed or uncanny strength, but rather he used the words worked, earned, and student-athlete. It takes zero skill to apply yourself and work hard. Thank you, Coach Harbaugh. Hashtag coaches change live. Hashtag earned, not given. And I got a little emotional reading this when I saw it on Facebook last week. I'm sure that you read those and go, yep, that's my dad.
That's my dad.
Yeah. I'm speechless. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Kind of makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it?
Yeah, he messaged me after, and he said, how do I get in touch with Coach? And I said, so I connected him, and he messaged back afterwards. He said, thank you so much. I had an great hour-long conversation with Coach Jack and Ms. Jackie, and it was just terrific. And so, you know, the way coaches impact players, I see it the way you talk about former players, the way you talk about Bo, you with former players, guys that once they leave here, I think maybe it's hard in the moment. You know, if you're a player, an active player, because a coach is yelling at you or whatever it might be, the story about the airport, right? But down the road, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that player is going to make a comment like this. He told me how to be responsible. He taught me how to do this, how to do that. And you may not get it in the moment, but you get it down the road.
No, you may not. And you may not get it a year later. It may not even 5 years later, or sometimes 10. But, you know, 15, 20 years later, you know, I found with my dad that, I mean, everybody that he coached, I mean, 100% have come back and appreciated what he's done, thanked him. Stayed in great touch, and you know they've had had each other's back. I've been seeing and hearing these stories from people for 40 years, going back to when I can remember things at 5, 6, 7 years old. And there's been a couple that came back after 5 or 10 and had a grudge, had something, a bone to pick with my dad. I've even seen that. But I saw the two of them address it and come away with handshakes and hugs, because that's the way in his world he operates. I mean, he addresses things. He doesn't let things fester. So respect that, have modeled it and appreciate it very much. And there's not, most people they wait until after you've died to say that you were a saint or that you were a great man or a great guy. But Jack Harbaugh, still living, gets those monikers put on him. So you are great. You are the great Jack Harbaugh.
Again, not many times in my life I'm speechless, but I am totally speechless.
Yeah, well, earned, not given. You earned the great Jack Harbaugh, without a doubt. Coming up next, Lucky Sports Parents with Drago Turner here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
Every car comes with its share of stories. The ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date. The luxury package you got after a big promotion. Or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof? Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you can know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas.
It's now time here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, for our Lucky Sports Parents segment. And this week we're talking with Drago Turner, father of DJ Turner, coming to us out of Sewanee, Georgia, and the IMG Academy down in Florida.
Drago!
Yes, sir.
Jim Harbaugh here. How you doing?
Hey, Coach. How you doing, sir?
This is Jack Harbaugh. So good to visit with you.
Mr. Harbaugh, good to hear you as well. I'm doing well, guys. I can't complain at all. How things going up in Ann Arbor?
Going well. We're coming off of spring break. All the players should be back. And we got workouts today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. And then we start spring ball on Sunday.
Oh, you start Sunday.
Sunday spring practice begins.
Oh man, good deal, man. That got to be exciting, especially for the all the new additions from the offensive side and defensive side of the ball.
Yes, sir. Have you talked to any of the parents or any of the youngsters who came in the mid-year? How their experience is going?
I haven't. DJ, he keeps in touch. I know he talks to Mike a lot. So, I mean, DJ probably talks to Mike, I don't know, once or twice a week. So I know he tells me to talk to him all the time. But he's, he said so far for him, everything is going well. I talked to Jalen Pierce, his parents, his dad, rather. And I know his dad said things are going well for him up there also. So, I'm just ready to get mine up there so he can get involved and get started.
I bet. It's been a great group. The eight guys who came in at the mid-year all are still consistently on a daily basis taking care of their business, doing what they have to do, going to class, working out, setting really striving to be good. And so I can't say enough good things about them that I haven't already said, other than that it's continued. It's been consistent.
Yep.
So, it's going to be all signs are pointing to this is really going to be a great class. Can't wait to get DJ up as well.
Well, hey, like I said, I'm excited and ready for him to get up there and get started, ready for him to move on to the next chapter in his life as far as, college student, college football player, just to see him grow as a young man and continue to grow. And this is it's one reason we're very excited, and one reason we chose Michigan was because of the course for the academic prowess. We're very excited about that. But then not only that, my wife and I feel very comfortable that we're leaving him with you, and so you and the rest of the coaching staff can help him to continue to grow as a young man as well as a player.
Well, I take that responsibility very serious. My number one job, and you've done a lot of the heavy lifting. You and Danielle have done a great job with DJ, and there's nothing better when you get a player who's already had that home training, so to speak, like you guys have done. I've said it on this show many times. I like Drago Turner, and you're one of my favorite dads in the whole class. I'm excited that you're on the podcast today. I hope you're coming up to spring. Are you going to make it up to spring for a spring game or anything?
No, those are the plans. We were, I know I have been talking to Matt. I think the 13th is the game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, so we're planning on making accommodations to come up to, depending on when, what time it is, either Saturday morning or Friday night after everyone finished with work. So, yes, we do plan on coming. If nothing, you know, unforeseen happens, we shall be there.
Great, great. And just for everybody who's listening, maybe take us through the life of DJ and just, you know, how probably he's been one of those sons, I'm sure, that's been a great joy for you to raise and watch him develop.
Well, for him, Coach, it's been a pleasure. He just to see him just grow and come up, it's amazing that this has been this, my wife and I said, this fastest 18 years of our life. It's really, really flown by from when he started playing ball, you know, first grade, what, 6 years old.
First grade, did he start in flag football or tackle football?
No, it was tackle. In Gwinnett County here in Georgia, they allow you to start first grade. You know, so he started then. And so, you know, he's been wanting to play, I mean, all his life. I can recall a story where he may have been, I don't know, 4, maybe 5 years old, over some friend's house, and he tackled with one of my fraternity brothers' daughter. We're like, he's like, dude, if you don't come get your son, why is he here tackling my daughter?
So she was trying to score.
Right. She was getting ready to go past goal line.
That's so right. Like, yeah, oh, my tackled.
And his poor sister, you know, you don't even know the little uniforms you get where it's like the little 49ers or whatever. You have the helmet and the little clay shoulder pads and the jersey.
Yep.
So, you know, he had one on, and she had on the 49ers. I think he had on the little Falcons. And he went and tackled her and cracked the little helmet. So we were here like, okay.
We got something here. We've got, Danielle, we have got something here to work with. Did he come to you with the idea of playing football, or did you approach him on it?
No, he came to me. That's all he wanted to do. That's been his thing. I want to play football. We're like, dude, you have to wait. You can't keep tackling people and, you know, and using your sister as a little practice dummy here. So he's been excited. He's been wanting to do this all his life. This is what he's been waiting for. Of course, he played other sports. He played baseball, played basketball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he excelled at those. But it was just, football was just kind of a God-gifted talent for him. It came more natural. He was very, very instinctive for him when he playing at the DB position. And it was just, he just had a knack for it. Knack for the ball, just at the right place at the right time for when a play is called to make the certain play. So it was no way to explain it. He just had a talent for it.
Drago, this is Jack. When did you and your wife look and watch him develop where you thought that this would be a possibility, a football scholarship and a football career?
Well, you know, Mr. Harbaugh, that's a great question, because my wife and I think it had to be probably eighth or ninth grade. We asked each other the question, you know, do you think he's good? Because he's good just in our area, Forest Gwinnett County. Do you think he's good just because, you know, for the competition here? Or do we think, is he good regardless of where we're playing, he would be a standout on the team? And I think my wife and I were talking, maybe we came maybe eighth to ninth grade, where we started noticing when he was competing. At that point, he started competing with kids outside of his school area or outside of our county. And so then we start looking like, wait a minute, this guy may have the ability to play at the next level. And, you know, just in, we look at when he is his 10th grade year, Coach Spire, our head coach at the time at North Carolina, who we love dearly, he had the opportunity in the 10th grade to start at corner for Coach Spire. And Coach Thompson was the defensive coordinator. So he did really well. We were excited, like, wow. And then when he coached, Mr. Harbaugh, when he went to IMG, and he went down there, had the opportunity to play down there with kids from all over, and he was still excelling. You know, he led the team in interceptions. He had led the team in called fumbles, recovered fumbles for touchdowns. And this was down at IMG. And we're like, wait a minute. He's still excelling at a high level. So we're like, okay, we just need to make sure he's under the right tutelage to continue to help him grow his craft, to make sure he developed well. And that's why we're coming up there with your son.
When did he first receive his first scholarship offer?
It was his sophomore year. First one from Southern Miss. Southern Miss was the first school to get his offer. Maybe mid-season, and probably 2 weeks after that, that was his first one, and his fifth was UOL, University of Michigan. And that's when Coach Partridge called. For whatever reason, I would never forget, it was January the 18th.
Wow.
So right at 2 years ago when he got off from Michigan.
Yeah.
And I told my wife and I told DJ, I'm like, dude, this is, you got Michigan. So they were looking at me like, okay. I'm like, dude, no, hold on, time out. You all don't understand. This is Michigan. This is really, really big. And they didn't understand at the time. So after my wife started doing some more research, she's in education. So she started doing some research, she's like, whoa, academically, they're like
powerhouse.
And the public school in the country. I'm like, yeah. And DJ like that. They have like the largest stadium in all of college football. I'm like, ding, ding, ding. I'm like, dude, this is huge. And I never knew when Coach Partridge, I spoke with him. You know, he was telling me, hey, man, I've been watching your son film, the staff, and I have, you know, we want to extend an offer. I was like, wow. It was kind of unbelievable because it was coming from Michigan, and I know the history, and I know what they stand for academically. I was just very excited about it.
That's awesome. You know, you remember where you were, what you were doing. Jack Harbaugh, what was your first offer?
Jim, that's been about 70 years ago.
Wait, that blows the theory if you remember where you were.
You're listening to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Make sure to stick around after this podcast to get the latest headlines from the AP News Minute.
It's time to celebrate. The Adam Carolla Show just hit its 10-year anniversary, and Adam is kicking it off in style. Join Adam this week as he welcomes late-night talk show legends Jimmy Kimmel on The Adam Carolla Show and Jay Leno on CarCast. Congratulations, Adam. Download The Adam Carolla Show and CarCast every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Now back to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
I remember where I was, and it wasn't even an offer. It was my first letter. First letter I got from a college program was in the 10th grade. Not an offer, just a letter. You know, fill out your name and address and things like that. I was at Pioneer High School. I was in sixth period geometry class. Mr. Art Lee was... was the teacher, also the basketball coach, and Mr. Lee gave me the letter.
That's awesome.
From Ball State. I was my feet were walking a little off the off the ground at that time.
And you passed it around to your friends, right? Tell your friends about the offer the letter that you had from Ball State.
I took it home. Put it on the
refrigerator
on my bedroom wall. I would thumbtack them into the wall. That was it.
How many different offers did the family receive?
DJ ended with 36.
Wow.
They ended with 36.
And how many visits did DJ take?
Three. Well, it took three. Visits out of those, because we pretty much narrowed it down. Mr. Harbaugh, we looked at things, and DJ, he was really adamant that he's like, Dad, wherever I go, I'm going to make one decision. I'm not going to play the game. I'm not going to do the hat game. I'm not going to do the decommit, and I'm going to open back up. He said, when I do when I decide, I want to have that. That's going to be my final decision. So his mother and I said, okay, we would do our part, meaning wherever you need to go look at, whatever school you want to visit, whichever, because this right now is the biggest decision you will ever make at this point in your life about your future.
Right.
So we said, we'll do our part, and you tell us which ones you're looking at. And we told him, you get to make the final decision. Hint, hint, wink, wink, if you make the right decision.
I love that.
So we allowed him to go through the process, and we would go through it and talk to him about it. And he chose excellent schools. He really did. So we were very proud of him for that. But it came down to, of course, academics and style of defense. And that's what knocked a lot of schools out, because he is a nickel corner. He's that type of corner that he wants to play press man. He wants to play in the nickel position. And that's what he was doing when he was, playing with, Coach Spire and Coach Thompson on the defense at North Gwinnett. And then he went down to IMG. That's what he was doing there. He would follow the best receivers, from the Brew McCoys to the George Pickens.
Yeah.
You know.
We watched that game. You and I watched that game in your house, remember? We had that. We watched TV game.
He would do that, and he would follow these guys and play, whether they go in the slot, whether they out wide. And so he was like, Dad, I want to make sure I go somewhere where they play press man. And of course, everybody in the world knows Coach Brown, if you cannot play press man, don't even look this way, because you're going to be on the island by yourself. And he was like, Dad, Coach Brown, he does it. He does exactly what I'm looking for. And here's a funny story, guys. We were leaving a visit. We were visiting a school out on the West Coast. So we told DJ to listen, we're leaving here. We're going to, when we're leaving here, we're flying to Michigan. He said, Dad, I don't want to go. And this was before he said, I don't want to go to Michigan. We're like, dude, you're going to Michigan. But man, I don't really want to go. We're like, well, listen, his mom said, well, check this out. We're going. So you can find out, at least know what you're saying no to. So this was before we broke all the stuff down to which defense and everything. And this is, this was probably 3 months after we got the offer from Coach Archer. So we left one school. We flew from the West Coast, flew to Michigan. Met with Coach Partridge and the rest of the staff, and we didn't have a chance. We were there, but Coach Harbaugh, there was a little kids camp there, and something happened where you had to leave early. So we didn't get a chance to meet you that day. So he like, man, we want you to meet Coach, but he had to leave. His emergency came up, so he had to leave. When we left and came to Ann Arbor, before we leave, DJ said, okay, that's it, I'm done. This is where I want to go.
Well, I remember
it. Like, dude, you didn't want to come here, remember?
Yeah.
What happened?
There you go. Good advice.
I don't know. I just feel it. This is home. And he was very big on, I want a family feeling. I want to feel like I'm a part of a big family. And when he visited the first time, He's like, oh, my goodness. I'm glad you all made me come. I love this place. I think this is it. And it ended up being final answer.
Drake, I coached for 46 years, and that statement that you have just made is so, so profound to me, is you chose the school. The first thing that you chose, the school, the academics, the campus, football, the players that you had to check, that's the reason you chose it. And that, in my judgment, is the number one reason for picking a place that you want to be for 4 years and start your life is a school that you've fallen in love, the school that you've fallen in love with.
Yeah. It's
6:25. I remember the day. It was June 25th. That's when DJ publicly made his commitment. But he pulled me over. He pulled me aside, as you know, when he was on the official June visit and told me this is where he was going to come.
That's right. And the reason he couldn't then, his sister, is in her opinion, is very important to him. And she wasn't with us on that visit. And that's why he's like, Coach, this is where I want to come. But I can't announce it because my sister isn't here.
So how beautiful is that?
That's why he couldn't announce it then. He said, Coach, you know, we called, we left, and we came back that Sunday night and had a conference call with all the coaches. And that's when he told him, listen, I'm coming, I'm committing, but I couldn't announce it, couldn't say it then because my sister wasn't with me.
Isn't that beautiful? The first person that he tackled as a football player, he had to make sure that she was on board.
There you go.
That's true. That is so true.
That is great. And also reminds me of Eric All, who is a mid-year tight end from Ohio. Uh-huh. And that was very important to him, too. Was his sister who was overseas in the military. Mm-hmm. And he was important to him. He wanted her on FaceTime, so we did a little FaceTime with the family. And still haven't met Eric's sister yet.
No, but, I don't know. I haven't met her yet either.
Looking forward to that.
You got 4 years. She comes back. You have plenty of time to have her come to a couple games and have a chance to meet her.
Now, how old is she now?
She's 16. She's a sophomore.
Oh, great.
You're not allowed to recruit her, Dad, on the podcast.
I didn't recruit her. I just asked the age.
We're okay. We're okay, Matt?
Yeah, we're good. We're okay.
A lot of rules, Drago, as you know.
Hey, Drago, it's Matt. How are you, bud?
Hey, Matt. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing incredible. One of the things that I'm most impressed with DJ is when he made that move to IMG and his maturity level of being able to leave home, go to a place where he's now – he's responsible for himself, he's responsible for his laundry, he's responsible to eat and train and do all of his homework, and watching him flourish, because he didn't go to IMG, he went there for senior year, so he had everything up until that last point. But seeing him flourish in that last year and just being able to be successful on the football field while taking all that on, I mean, he was already in college, so to speak.
And you're correct, Matt, and you were very heavily involved through that time, because whatever correspondence had to go on with Michigan, his mom would tell him, hey, you help Coach Matt do that number. You reach out to him. Yeah. You got to handle this business yourself.
Yeah.
And so he would reach out to you. And, you know, of course, my wife, she would follow up.
Yeah, she followed up a lot. She followed up a lot.
In the loop, what's going on. But he did. It was the IMG situation. It is kind of a blessing in disguise, because we didn't plan for that. Certain situations led us to that, and for that opportunity to present itself. And then when he went down there, and we did see him as parents, we noticed and we saw him grow as a young man. He was able to, you know, just a simple thing, you know, now all your laundry and stuff, it's on you. You get up at 6:30 in the morning for treatment, and he get back home. You know, the kids love playing Fortnite. They're on their little computer. So I talked to him and said, dude, have you been playing Fortnite? Have you talked to your buddies lately? He said, Dad, I leave in the morning at 6:30. When I get back, it's 9:30 at night. All I'm trying to do is go to sleep. All I want to do, I just want to sleep. I don't want to do Fortnite. I don't want to do anything. And he really didn't want to talk to us. So he was so short. I'm tired. I had a long day. I'm like, okay, this is what it's going to be like at Michigan.
Yeah.
You get up in the morning, you have a long day from school to meetings to exercise to meals to treatment to weightlifting, so on and so forth. When you finish, guess what? You're going to have those 12 to 14 hour days. Yeah. And get used to it. And he was able to handle it. So we're proud of it.
Well, I was going to, before Matt, I'm glad Matt brought that up and you brought it up. Danielle, TJ's mom, your wife, et cetera, I've always been impressed with her. That she's not your typical, like, cry on your soft shoulder to cry on, you know, and you brought it up. I mean, there's things you got to learn. You got to take care, you got to handle your business, as you said. And I get on my wife, Sarah, sometimes about that, too. That there's just, come on, we got to cut the umbilical cord here. I mean, let the boy be a boy.
He's only six.
Well, actually, he's only two.
Johnny. Oh, you're talking about Johnny.
You're talking about Johnny, you know. And then Sarah comes back with that argument that he's only two. But, I guess that's a pretty valid argument.
Fair. That's a pretty valid.
Yeah.
My gosh, by six, so we got to have that cut, don't we, Dad?
We've pretty much worked into that.
We got that one. The six-year-old Jack, we got that one cut.
She holds him responsible. She makes sure that, you know, you listen, you have to grow up as a young man. You have to handle this. Now, if you need help, you know, or you need me to follow up, I'm here for your assistance. But however, you need to handle your business. And she's very adamant in that. You know, hats off to her that she's tough in that way. But she's like, listen, in order for you to grow, you have to learn by experience. Now, while you're learning by experience, I'm here for your support. However, learn while you have my support. Because once you leave and go to Michigan, you're done.
That's why I love you, Drager. You
at that point.
We've had this conversation, too. Now, there's a few. I mean, Ronnie Bell's dad, Aaron Bell, and Drago Turner and Jack Harbaugh come from a similar school. the school of thought that, hey, listen, buddy, you turn 18, you're off the books. You're either going to have to get a job, you're going to have to go to college, you're going to have to go to the military, but something's taking place. Graduate 18 years old, you are – the bird needs to leave the nest. That's a Jack Harbaugh. You can put that on the Harbaugh way of life. You are off the books at 18
Drago,
years
the
old.
Other thing that we all share – wives, we have married wisely. It set us in the right course, didn't it?
No doubt about it.
That's right. Well, listen. I hit a home run, so I know I got the right one. She keep us all in check, but you know we have to have those checks and balances. Yeah. So it works out. It works out well. So she does a great job with both of the kids. So I can't complain. I can't complain at all.
I love the love for the moms on the show, or the wives in this case as well, on the show, because these are lucky sports parents, right? That's just about the dads. The moms have a big role in this too, and love hearing, especially love hearing the dads say all the great things about the moms when they're not listening, because you know how genuine it is, because they're not even there to hear it. So love hearing that from you, Drago. Appreciate it. And before we let you go, just, I know we talked a little about you coming up in the spring, but how about you and the family gearing up for the fall and looking forward to coming up and seeing your boy in the winged helmet and all that kind of good stuff that comes with that first time in the uniform?
I'm excited about it. I feel like I get to play again.
Yep.
It just feels so exciting. You come up there, the ambiance of game day is unreal. Then you sit there and it's just amazing that Danielle and I are talking about it. I'm like, wow. Do you know the next time we come here, our child could literally be on the field? He could possibly be on the field this fall. So we're like, wow. It's just surreal. We sit here like, wow, we don't believe it's happening. We're very excited about it. And the people we've met throughout this process, you know, we're looking forward to hanging out with them, building a better relationship with them. And, you know, we're just excited about it all. We're very happy and excited to get up there and enjoy the next 4 to 5 years.
DJ will have the license and the ability to play right away. But he'll also be playing with Chris Hinton. And DJ was on that team, right? That amazing Little League team where Chris Hinton Sr. was coaching the team?
he and Chris came up together, first grade, competing against each other.
Okay.
Oh.
Both of them, but we were in the same county, Gwinnett County, and they would come up playing against each other. And so we always knew the family. And we really had a chance to build a relationship with the Hinton once. And what was funny, I tell people, you know, Chris was like DJ's manager through this process, because it seemed like the offers that, like, one of the schools, they would offer Chris that morning, then they would come to North Gwinnett and offer DJ. So both of them would communicate, like, hey, man, hey, look, this is the move. We love this school. So Chris is like, listen, when are you late? He said, well, Chris, the Hinton's would leave, like, on a Thursday. They would leave on a Thursday visiting the school, and we would arrive Thursday evening, so we would miss them. So Chris would tell DJ, say, hey, listen, but this is it. I think this is it. So DJ said, hey, yeah, I do like it. So Chris called and said, hey, you been to Michigan yet? He didn't know we're going there when we leave here. Call me when you get home.
I remember, that was the famous visit, right, where Chris and DJ were at Stanford. Like, one was there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's correct.
I think Chris told that story a week ago.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, we had Chris Hinton Sr. on the podcast. He has some things to say. How about this, Drake? I'm going to play this audio for you.
In a couple of weeks, we're going to, I don't know when it's scheduled. I don't know if we scheduled it next, but Lucky Sports Dad, Drago Turner, will eventually be on this show because he is definitely one of my favorite parents in the entire class. Can you maybe say a few words about Drago Turner? We'll play it back for Drago when he's on the podcast.
That's right. Known him since, again, third grade.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Not since I was in third grade. Since Christopher was in third grade. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, since DJ and Christopher were in third grade. Okay.
Yeah, but you're talking about a thorough, intense,
light up the room. I mean,
research. I mean, does his homework. And I think after every game this year, every Michigan game this year, I got a text from Drago. What do you think? I mean, he wants an evaluation. I mean, he's thorough, but great parents and great addition to Michigan.
No question.
Oh wow, that's really cool. And I did text him, hey, B. Chris, what do you think about this? What you think? So, that is pretty cool. That's cool. But, like, hey, that's how excited we are to be a part of the new family. And we haven't looked back once knowing we've made the right decision, knowing that DJ made the right decision for his future. And I can honestly say he hasn't second-guessed or looked back at anything. He made that decision. He's like, I'm done. It's over. I am ready to go. And we feel the exact same way.
Refresh my memory on the story. Chris visited Stanford first, or DJ did, and one of them left there and came to Michigan and then called the other and said, don't hold off, don't do anything. Yeah.
Well, what happened?
Who was it?
What happened? We went to Michigan. Chris, the Hens went to Michigan first. I mean, I'm sorry, the Hens went to Stanford first. So they went to Stanford. So Chris would call DJ. He said, hey, listen, Stanford's pretty cool. I think, hey, man, hey, listen, education first. Remember, education first. So this is Chris talking to DJ. And I told, Daddy Chris, Dad Hinton, I'm like, hey, man, listen, your son has done an excellent job. I know he may get in trouble at home. He may not do something right, but I'm going to help you out, guys. Give him a pass one time because he has done an excellent job from breaking down the different schools before he get there, before we visit. So when we went to Stanford, he said, hey, Stanford is cool, DJ. I think you're going to like it. The Hintons left and went to Michigan. So when they left and went to Michigan, he called DJ. He said, okay. He said, have you been to Michigan yet? He said, no, we're coming. You know, you all will come and we'll leave here. We left Stanford on a Thursday. He said, we're leaving. We'll come here. He said, okay, call me Sunday. I think this is it. Just call me Sunday. He said, what's going on? Nothing. I'm not gonna say a word. Call me Sunday when your visit is over. DJ called him Sunday. He said, "Okay, wow, I'm done." He said, "I told you." That's it. That's the place. That's where we're going. I'm telling you. So when I tell you, it was funny because both of them had opportunity to go, you know, they, you know, we visit, you know, Notre Dame as well. And all of these are great schools, great staff, great traditions. And when both, when Chris was telling him how it gave him that family feel, and when DJ got that himself, he said, okay, I see what you mean, Chris. This is it. And so far, the two of them are planning on being roommates. So they're like, hey, roomie, this is it. This is it. We're done. It's over. And Chris, I think he, that was 2 years ago almost. He, that summer, he committed that summer.
Yep.
And then DJ was right at almost a year behind him. He said, yeah, I'm done. It's over. So yeah, Big Chris had, he led him through the way. And that, I told him that, that was his manager slash roommate. And both of them has really, really done a great job throughout this process. So I'm proud of both of those young men.
Just one thing I have to point out here at Gwinnett County has to be the sports capital of the world as far as young athletes in that county. It's amazing. We talk about Florida, the athletes come out, but Gwinnett, that county.
Yep.
And so here's what I'm going to ask you as my, you know, my son-in-law, Tom Crean, basketball coach there at Georgia. So if you see any basketball players walking around, and you might want to tell them to go down there to Athens and take a peek at that basketball program.
Well, you know what? I didn't know that. Did you say it's your son-in-law?
Tom Crean. Now, he married Jim's sister, Joni. Joni's five years younger than Jim. So we're trying to help that program along. So whatever help you could give us down there, please keep us in mind.
Well, listen, they a guy, he played with, he competed against, he wasn't on their team. I'm not sure, at AAU basketball. I think he played with Big Chris. I'm not mistaken, but they played on a team called Worldwide, the AAU basketball team. Mm-hmm. And DJ competed against them. All of them played in the same AAU circuit. They just, Coach Crean just got him. He's one of the, like, the number one point guard, shooting guard in the country. Getting Anthony Ant-Man Edwards, who can play with them. He just signed to, he just committed to George about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's a
great start for him. And he's a local guy. He wanted to stay home.
Well, that's good.
Good work, Jack. You made it happen. You made it happen. Drago, appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Drago.
Looking forward, Matt. I'll see you in a couple of weeks, guys.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you. So good talking with you. Please give your wife our best.
All right. I do have one quick follow-up to wrap up that interview with you guys. I just want to know, was Joni ever a tackling dummy?
On numerous occasions.
I didn't know.
She has been taken down by both John and Jim Harbaugh, I promise you.
Yeah. I'm hearing Drago tell the story. I'm like, 5 years younger, 6 years younger, sister. Wow, she probably was a tackling dummy a few times.
I love that Coach just looked at Jack and went, probably. And like kind of shook his head and put his shoulders up a little bit there.
And Jack didn't even hesitate. Yeah, absolutely. All right, I just figured I had to ask based on Drago talking about DJ and his sister. Had to ask. And yeah, I'm not surprised by the answer. Coming up next, hashtag Jack Talk here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
This is Jack Talk.
I want to listen. I want to be better. I want to be the best I can be. Welcome to our team. The team.
Jack Talk.
As you get older, you get to be 78 years old. Here's what I find. Hair grows in places that it hadn't been before.
Welcome to hashtag Jack Talk.
It's now time for everybody's favorite segment of the week here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, Jack Talk. Jack, what do you have for us this week?
Want everyone included in this discussion. This is an open discussion. We're going to act freely here and with each other, honestly. I read an article this week in one of the publications. A gentleman wrote an article, and the article was titled, I Learned All I Needed in Life with My Job as a Paper Route, as a Paper Boy, when I was in the 7th and 8th grade. And in our day, it seemed like everyone had a job like that. And so what I want to do is just kind of go around the table. Ira, is there a job that you had at that stage of your life that impacted your life in some way?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I did in high school. I spent summers working in like offices, but like filing and things like that. But man, if you're not organized, right, I had to redo an entire doctor's office filing system. Ooh. Nothing was out like by alphabet. I had to like relabel everything, and I had to take chaos and turn it into organization. And I think that's how I can take what my office sometimes looks like or what may be chaos in general and organize it down into tasks and that kind of thing.
Because I learned that, and if you didn't have a good work ethic as you're doing that, so I kind of picked up on that. Although work ethic, I just learned at home from my dad. My dad has an amazing work ethic, so I picked that up from him over the years. But the job that probably put me in line of would be working in both an office, a medical office, and I also worked at my dad's office in the summer. And tell you this, there's no slacking at your dad's office, so work ethic is important, right? If you slack at all, like I may know everybody there, but if I'm not working, it's very easy to get that message back to the bosses. And so work ethic was definitely picked up in there, and organizational skills picked up in there, which you may not see if you walk into my office, but when I clean it and I know where everything is, then you'll see sure. where those skills come into play.
Mackenzie!
I mean, I'm 24, so the extent of my back in my day, you know, stories are a little
like an hour ago.
But I will say my first job, I actually worked in a daycare, and there's nothing like being responsible for other people's kids that teaches you, you know, accountability, patience. Hmm. And I had the most amazing boss who taught me everything about that fine line between being respected but having high standards, and expecting, you know, the best out of your employees while also being very empathetic and helpful and understanding. And so my job was actually really, you know, twofold, because it taught me about, you know, working and work ethic with, you know, these young kids, which is hard, but also having a boss who was so amazing from the jump that really set the tone for how I would want to act as a boss and how I would want to treat, you know, my coworkers and employees as I kind of go down this road of, you know, adulthood and, you know, potential careers that I may or may not embark on, you know, in the future.
If you stick in media, then working at a daycare is great. Great practice.
You know, and it's funny too, because, you know, if you asked me, you know, 5 years ago when I wanted to have kids, I'd say, I don't know, maybe like 27. Now I'm like, ooh, 40 might be pushing it. Maybe about 55, I'll be ready to be a parent.
Matt.
I had three jobs before eighth grade. My very first job was, I worked at a gas station, Tortoise Auto, in my little town, McKeesport, growing up, Port View, actually. And I pumped gas. I was a full service, pumped gas, checked oil, cleaned windshield wipers. The only people that came through were very, very, very elderly people. So having to do that, and then I was in charge of, you know, sweeping out the shop as well. And I mean, I think back to that job, Jack. So I worked. There was three of us, so we'd each work a week. So then you work a week, then you're off for 2 weeks, and you came back. And I worked every day after school, Monday through Friday, from like it was like 3 to 6 or 3 to 5. That's and then they were closed. And then Saturday, they left me, and I'm 11. I'm 12 years old. I was in charge of the gas station from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. myself, sitting in the little waiting room of the shop, and then. Ding, ding, you know, cars up there. I'd run up the lot, pump the gas, you know, and then in charge of all of the money, in charge of all the credit card receipts. I think back to that. I'm like, my daughter's the same that age. I can't imagine her working like how I did. And then you had to keep track of how much gas you were pumping. So
was it legal?
I was paid in cash, $60 a week. So that was huge. That was like a Nintendo game every week that we got. And then I had a paper route. Either during or before with that, or after that. And, it was a long ways away from my house because I couldn't get one closer to my house, but I wanted a paper route because all my buddies had paper routes. So I was lucky I was flat. It was flat, to get around so I could ride my bike, but every single person had something a little different. So dealing with that as a 10, 11, 12 year old, where this person wants it in their mailbox, this person wants it in, on their stoop. This person didn't care as long as you threw it and it was in the general vicinity. This person wanted it rubber banded. This person wanted it in a bag, you know, so learning that and that customer service, and how to collect money off people. I think it was like $1.40 or something for the week. If they didn't get the Sunday paper and having the little stub tear off stubs, yeah. Had to give to them.
Post Gazette.
It was the Pittsburgh Post Gazette and the McKeesport Daily News. Yep. So those two things. And, But I think back to those and just the accountability and the work ethic and all those things. But the third job was working with my dad, putting in air conditioners, HVAC. He was an HVAC mechanic, so I was terrible at that, and he would often yell at me for drifting off and messing around.
Suggest you go back to the paper route.
Yeah, I'm not paying.
That might
you
be a life's work.
Yes. So, but no, I think that those three things that I often think back very fondly. Very crazily, for lack of a better word, but certainly speaking of what you guys talked about, work ethic and accountability. And I mean, just like they relied on me to do my job. Like, and I think that definitely overlaps into what I do today too.
When I was in, seventh grade in Crestline, I lived two doors from our neighborhood grocery store. Mm. It was run by a gentleman, Ray Scheiber. He and his mother and his father ran that store. And every morning for 2 years, seventh and eighth grade, I would wake up at 6:30 in the morning, go over to the grocery store. He had a wheelbarrow set up with me with crates of milk, chocolate milk and white milk, and then Hostess cupcakes, with a little wiggly line on the top, and Twinkies in the carton. There were just Twinkies, right? Weren't they just called? They had a creamy filling in there, and
it's yellow cake, creamy inside.
So good.
So every morning he would load the wagon, and I would push the wagon, the one wheeled wagon, up to Birch Corporation, which was about a block and a half away. They had two buildings, and then I would wheel the wheelbarrow through, and I had 50 customers in those two buildings. And I knew exactly with the lid, one took a chocolate milk and a Twinkies, another took a white milk and a Hostess and a Twinkies. And so if they were there, I'd hand it to them. They would give me cash, 10 cents, I think, for each one of them, take the money, put it in my little bag, and mark off that they had paid. If they weren't there, I'd just put it at their workstation, mark that they hadn't paid, and I would collect it at the end of the week. I would come back. I got a penny for every milk and a penny for every one of those Hostess and Twinkies that I sold. 50 cents a day. I had 50 customers. 50 cents a day is what I made. At the end of the week, he would account. I'd have to give him all the money and account for all the money. If I were a penny off, it was $2.49. It would $2.50 a week is what I would get. He'd take a penny off for every single one. No excuses.
Yeah.
Somebody stiffed me. He wasn't interested in that. He took that money away from me. About to go to school. I had to go to school. I had to run to school. We had mass, Catholic church. We had a mass in the morning. I'd get there a little bit late, and they excused me. 365 days. Snow, heat, wheelbarrow, snow, taking it up in there. And I look back. I read this discussion about what he learned with this paper, right? That's what I learned, accountability. I'd take the $2.50 and take it to the bank every Friday, deposit it. I don't know what interest I got, but I thought about that. If I put that in there every week, 52 weeks in a year, I was putting $250 in that bank over a year.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that what it would come out to?
52 weeks times $2.
Be about a little over $100.
Yeah, a little over $100.
A little over $100.
A little over $100 that I would put in the bank. And I never, except if I needed, something I wanted to buy for myself, I'd go in there and get it. But in those days, that was a pretty good size amount of money when you didn't have to look for other ways to do it. So I think there's some great lesson that we've all shared here. I think sometimes now, we talked about this a little earlier and with McKenzie, parents now, if you play sports and you do well in school, some do what allowances and some just say if you need this or that. And that's not, I don't think that's all bad. I think that's what our children have done with their kids. And I don't think that's bad, but those lessons of bookkeeping, of accountability, showing up on time, trust, the trust that I had in these gentlemen that none of them were going to stiff me, none of them were going to embarrass me, a boss that held me accountable. I mean, he didn't give me any slack whatsoever. A life lesson that I've carried with me, and I share that with our listeners, and I don't know whether you anything, gleaned anything from there. But I have two things
that have stuck in my head after this. The first one is that anybody trusted him for a day in a shop, as I point to Matt. And the other is that you're more reliable than the post office when you didn't, because they didn't work on Sundays. But you were
Saturdays and Sundays were off.
So you only worked the 5 days
a week. They just work 5 days a week.
But you never have, no matter
what the weather was. Did I say 7 days a week?
You said every day.
I stand corrected.
Okay, but 5 days a week, no matter the weather, if there was a holiday or whatever, it didn't matter. You were there every day. That's
every
most kids
day,
can't do five. Most kids can't do 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Every day
of anything they wanted.
Workers at Birch Corporation were on the job. Jack Harbaugh was on the job.
That the two things I'm taking away from this one. Birch Corporation, is that what it is? Those people ate a lot of Hostess and Twinkies. I mean,
they like their milk too.
Yeah, but so. Golly, they I'd like to see, you know, there's a case study in itself right there of Twinkie eating. And it's funny, you said that if you were off by a nickel or you're off by a dime or a penny, or whatever, it came out of yours. My paper route, and I did this to myself most of the time, but there was a little convenience store at the very end of my paper route. And I'm like, you know what? I just walked all around here. I'm going to get myself a soda, get myself a pop, and, you know, I take it out of my little change bag and 50 cents or 25 cents or whatever it was at the time. And then, but you paid the paper guy at the end of the week. So I had to collect all the money during the week.
Yeah, that's where it was.
And then, hey, you owe me $26. Yeah. And if you didn't collect, like if someone didn't pay you, he didn't care. You, 26, and whatever over 26, that was your money.
Yeah.
He only wanted his money. So like I literally remember going, like, there'd be times where it'd be like $27.50, and my mom going, is people not paying you? I'm like, no, they're paying me. I'm like, so what are you doing?
Eating my profit.
I'm like, I'm drinking a can of Cherokee Red soda on the way back, my walk back home nearly every day. That's what I'm doing.
But what class could you take in high school? Or what class could you take in college that would be a better learning experience than what we've talked about around this table?
Not a single one.
Not one.
There was a meme on social media somewhere. You know, where's the class that teaches you basically you're talking about X, Y, and Z, and it's like, you know, taking care of yourself. I mean, they were adding things like doing your own laundry or whatever, but it's money management, earning the money, all those different things. Yeah, there's not a lot of – I know they're like, if you're a student athlete at Michigan, they have resources for you to learn from. If you're at the school, there are other resources to go to.
Life skills
in school,
and things like that,
You're not getting in high school, that's for sure.
No.
At least not that I remember from high school.
When my mom asked me, like, where's that money? You know, I was like, well, Jack Harbaugh had a wheelbarrow full of Twinkies.
And I had to buy it.
And I had to buy it.
Lesson learned, don't eat your profits. That might be the number one
there
lesson
it is.
Learned. Don't eat your profits. You can contact us on Twitter at @AEDPodcast or by using hashtag JackTalk. Follow us, favorite us, and subscribe to us on PodcastOne.com and the Podcast One app. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We want to thank Podcast One and our great sponsor, TrueCar. And a reminder, of course, have a great week, everybody, and keep attacking each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Thank you for listening to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, here on Podcast One. Don't forget to subscribe at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts.